In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now that Paschaltide has passed and the time of celebration has somewhat waned, it is necessary to consider a certain aspect of the Catholic faith which is very often forgotten, and unfortunately due to the current discipline of the Church, it is not being properly emphasized, and it has to do with the virtue of fasting. As you recall, I made the observation that St. Thomas says that the natural law commands all of the virtues. And why does it command all of the virtues? It commands all the virtues because we have a natural inclination to perfection. And a person without virtue is not perfect, for a virtue inclines a person always and consistently towards what is good, and that is a perfection. And so we have a natural law inclination towards developing all of the virtues. We've already talked about a little bit the virtue of sacrifice. There's also the virtue of mortification, which most people do not sufficiently develop, which if you fail to develop, it's the sin of negligence. There is also what the virtue I want to talk about today is the virtue of fasting. Now, St. Thomas says that fasting is a virtue. And why is it a virtue? Because through fasting, that is the virtue of fasting, the person develops a control over the concupiscible appetite. The concupiscible appetite is that appetite in man which desires food and those matters which pertain to the sixth commandment. And it is necessary to refrain this appetite, and if we don't get it under control, then people end up with problems such as developing the vice of gluttony and things of this sort. But the virtue of fasting helps to moderate and curb and gain rational control over this faculty. Now, the current discipline of the Church is that you only have to fast on 2 days out of the year, Good Friday and Ash Wednesday. Now, that law in itself is not evil because the fact that it commands fasting is a good thing. The problem, however, lies in the fact that two times a year does not constitute a habit. A virtue is a habit requiring repeated acts in order to develop. And that means if you're going to develop the virtue of fasting, you must do it habitually. And by habitually, we mean somewhat often. Well, how do we know it's somewhat often? Let's take the prior discipline of the Church, and that will tell us. The prior discipline of the Church is that you had to fast from the beginning of Lent until the end of Lent. That's what the requirement was. Now, they tell us that to develop a virtue, or to corrupt a vice, you must first corrupt the vice, and that takes 3 weeks. To develop a virtue takes another 3 weeks. That's 6 weeks, which is roughly the length of Lent. Now, this is an indication to us that God actually understood human nature in his telling the apostles through Humano Apostolic tradition to found a period of fasting from the beginning of from beginning to the end of Lent of 40 days. So there was a profound understanding of human nature. But then there was something else which the Church did. It wasn't just during Lent that you had to fast. You also had to fast on Ember Days and Vigil Days, and Ember Days occur 4 times a year. This meant that, and the vigils occurring before major feasts, this meant that the Catholics, once they developed the virtue through fasting through the whole of Lent, could then maintain the virtue by fasting on Ember Days. So that in point fact, they fulfilled the natural law prescription in developing the virtue of fasting. It is an unfortunate fact that the new Code of Canon Law does not prescribe these things. In other words, the new discipline does not suffice for developing this virtue. Now, it doesn't mean that the law is evil, again, because it commands what is in itself good, that is, it commands fasting. But the fact of the matter is that the natural law demands a virtue in this regard, and that means a habit, and so people should get into the habit of doing it regularly. Now, very often, people today find just those 2 days out of the year extremely difficult in order to do. Well, why is that? Well, when you live in a culture, in a society where good food is constantly readily available, then it becomes difficult, and if you're constantly indulging in eating the food, when it comes time to refrain the appetite, it doesn't want to do it. It doesn't want to subordinate itself to reason. And this is why developing that habit takes more than twice a year. You have to do it outside of that. We live in a culture in which the line of G.K. Chesterton seems to be in place. He says, if you cannot fast, you cannot feast. If you cannot feast, you cannot fast. And what this means is that if you're always feasting, you never understand what it really means to be a feast. And so it's necessary to fast from time to time so that the feast actually has a meaning. This is one of the reasons why things such as Easter, when there was a great feast, or even Mardi Gras, the night before the Ash Wednesday, it was a true feast. Why? Because you weren't going to eat meat for the whole of Lent. You were going to be fasting for the whole of Lent. And so it was a real feast. But today, these things don't mean very much because people have too much food that's readily accessed. So what this ultimately means is that we must take it upon ourselves to fulfill the natural law requirements regarding fasting. There is, of course, the virtue of abstinence. Now, the virtue of abstinence is that you refrain from some kind of food, not that you refrain from food in general, which is what fasting is. And abstinence does, according to the current discipline, if you follow the current discipline, you will, in fact, fulfill the prescriptions regarding the natural law, regarding the virtue of abstinence. Because you must abstain from meat from all of the Fridays of the year unless you do some other penance, that is, some type of sacrifice, outside of that. But it shouldn't be habitual that you're doing these sacrifices outside of Lent, because you should be developing the virtue of abstinence. The current discipline of the church does not suffice for fulfilling the requirements of the natural law. That does not mean that when you stand before God, you're going to be exculpated, because nobody enters heaven without being in the state of perfection. Therefore, before you enter heaven, this virtue must be in some way in your soul. Therefore, develop the virtue of fasting and don't commit the sin of negligence in failing in this regard. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.